All right, so this year we are studying prayer. And so now is the time you may rifle the table and pull out one of these curriculum books. We're studying prayer for many reasons. First of all, because it's an important topic. It's an important thing in the life of any person who loves and serves God. But also, one of the main reasons I chose prayer is because we're studying the book of Revelation in Big Church. And I thought, you know, Revelation, I took a class on that in seminary, I read the book, and I just thought, gosh, we're going to be like in the midst of these really strange visions for the better part of a school year. And I thought, I think people might have some challenges connecting with it. Some of you are going to love it. Some of you are going to be like, can we stop now? And so I thought, when we study here together, let's do something that we all can connect with, no matter if we already follow Jesus or not, that we can all, we know what it is. I don't have to like do this extensive teaching about what prayer is, but we can just dive in deeper and we can learn more about it. So that's why we're studying prayer this year. So I want you to open up your curriculum books to the table of contents, which is just a few pages in. I'm going to familiarize you with this book here. So first, I want you to note a typo at the bottom of the table of contents. So if you run down the left column, the very last date is incorrect. It should be the, what, 13th? 13th, yeah, December 13th. It's one of those things where you stare at something for so long and you look at it so many times that you can no longer see it. So that's the first typo we found. So I'm sure there will be others, and just be gracious about them, right? No one really cares. Just don't come here on December 7th expecting a potluck, or else you're just going to be eating by yourself. So we have all the dates of our meetings, and any special activity is in another color. So you'll see in a couple weeks we'll have a small group fellowship day, and we'll let you know what that's like. We will not meet on Thanksgiving Day. I know you really want to be with us instead of your family, but you need to be with your family. So, and then we'll end with a Christmas potluck. So we are going to be studying various types or forms of prayer throughout Scripture, so you can look down this list. I think most of us, when we think of prayer, we pray for ourselves, and we pray thanks, and we pray for the needs of in our lives or in the people that we love in their lives. But there's so many other types of prayer throughout Scripture. And so we're going to dive in both the Old and New Testament, and we're going to check out some types of prayer that were a part of the life of the people who followed God. And we're going to, some of these might be pretty new to you, and we're going to explore them and we'll discuss them. And then every week you'll have an opportunity to do some type of prayer practice in the book. So lesson two, let's all turn to lesson two. So you can easily skip lessons by looking for the green divider sheets. So you're looking for the second green divider sheet for lesson two. We're going to use this as just an example of what the weekly curriculum looks like. So on the front of every green sheet is the start of a new lesson. And so you'll see, like, on that green sheet has the lesson number, the title of the week, and then a prayer, either of that type or a quotation about prayer. So that's on each of the dividers. And then if you turn to the next page, this is page 7, you'll see that we've divided each week up into 6 sections. So each lesson, with the exception of lesson 1, starts with these 6 sections. Starts with the section called read. So that is the scripture assignment for that week. So we want you to read this well. Don't rush through it. Read it multiple times. Try reading it out loud. Sit with it really well. All of the passages in this booklet are in the New International Version. I'm going rogue and laying aside the ESV. You all can handle it. Okay, and then the next section is called search. And this is for those of you who really love to dig into scripture and like inductive Bible study. I've given you a couple things to go and look for in the text. So you might want to have colored pencils or highlighters, or you can just make different symbols. That's the option I've given you, but you can do it whatever way you'd like. So you'll be digging and you'll be searching the text. Then after that, you will go onto a reflection section. So these are kind of the big picture questions, the I need to step back from this passage and use my brain to think, why would this be? So there's reflection questions. Then there's an apply section. This is going to help you think about how this type of prayer or this passage of scripture touches down in your life. How might you do this yourself? And then at the end of each one, there's a pray. So it gives you some instructions about perhaps how to pray that week. Try it on for size, this type of prayer that we're studying that week. And then each week ends with a page called Take Notes. And that's just for if you want to take notes during the teaching or someone mentioned something in your small group discussion you don't want to forget. This is where you can take notes. So you don't have to bring an extra journal if you don't want to. So that's how it's designed. And I always try to kind of balance the needs of the women in the group. So there are some of you who want to spend 2 hours a week doing Bible study. But there are some of you who can barely eke out 15 minutes. So you all have different demands on your time, and I want to honor that. And so what I've done is tried to design something that you could do in 30 minutes a week. Now, some of you might take a little longer. Some of you might blaze through and just do some highlights. But that's kind of how it's been designed. So there's 8 to 10 questions per week. I think you can handle it. I would like you to try to challenge yourself. If you haven't been able to do the lessons in past years, to do them this year. Especially because this is something you can start new practices with this lesson this year. So I really encourage you to push yourself and make it a priority. Even if you give it 5 minutes a day or 10 minutes or, you know, 2 15-minute sessions throughout the week, I really want you to try and do the work before you come to hear the teaching. And I want to encourage you also to bring your Bible. We might, when teaching, someone might refer to another passage that you'd like to flip to that's not in here. If your English is not your first language and you're more comfortable reading the scripture from a Bible in another language, bring that. And then also encourage you to bring a pen. We won't always supply pens because people steal them and I just keep having to buy them. So we're gonna just expect that you can bring your own pen. All right. So that's a little bit about the book. I want you to take a second and write your name inside on the paper cover. And if you have a common name, put your last initial or your full first and last name so that we can keep track of these. If you leave it behind, I will find you and I will give it to you. So prayer. What is prayer? Why is it important? When I think about prayer, I think of prayer being kind of a primary and fundamental way that we connect with God and communicate with God. It's not a formal definition. But later this week, if you go back into lesson one, I've given you just a smattering of verses throughout scripture that describes prayer or has prayer talked about amongst other things that can kind of give you a sense of the shape of prayer and the purpose of prayer. Because I think God is personal and loving and God wants to be in relationship with each one of us, prayer is precious. Prayer is priceless. It's this line, this direct line to God. I mean, there are other religions and other philosophies where the idea of God or a higher power is removed and inaccessible, but you're still trying to work to prove yourself or to be loved by that higher power or that God. That is not our God. Yahweh is a personal God. Jesus died for us. Those are the things that Scripture tells us. And so prayer is this gift from God to say, I want to know you. I want you to know me. I've given you my name. And you can say anything to me. And I will listen to you and I will respond. And so that's what we're going to discover this year as we study prayer. Now, I learned to pray by the example of my parents. My parents were faithful followers of Jesus. And my dad did the bedtime routine. So my brothers, I was the youngest, so I was the first one in bed. And my dad would come to my room every night, and he'd sit on my bed, and we'd say our prayers. And he always started the same way. So he taught me to pray by saying, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. And then he would just start listing the things he was thankful for. And so for probably the first 20 years of my life, that was almost without exception the way I started every prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for, and then just listed things. So many of us learn to pray by following the example of another. And some of us, it wasn't when we were children, right? Some of us didn't come to know God or Jesus until later in life, but you still kind of sit around when you decide to follow Jesus. You sit around amongst other Christians and you start listening to the way other people pray, and you kind of start taking on, oh, I like the way someone said that, or that sounds comfortable. And so you start to take that on. And so we teach each other how to pray. And in fact, we've learned how to pray by being taught from people that are in Scripture and from their witness. My sister-in-law, Kara, was raised Catholic. It's a strange story because her parents were Catholic but no longer attended Mass, but they would drive their three daughters to the local Catholic church and drop them off every Sunday. And the girls would go, and they were part of the church life there. In fact, one of her uncles was like a local priest, and he's now a bishop. And so going to church was very much part of the larger family culture. But she was part of a Catholic church, and not all of them are like this, that did not encourage her to read Scripture for herself, never encouraged them to have their own Bibles. And she knew no other kinds of prayer except for the Hail Mary and the Our Father, which is what we would call the Lord's Prayer. Those are the only two types of prayer. She never said them on her own, only when she was at Mass. So when she met my brother in college, and he was a Protestant, they started doing this exchange where they'd go to Mass one Sunday, and then they'd go to like a Baptist church or some other general Christian church. And she started observing all these things. She said, wow, I didn't realize that you could pray other ways than these two, and that you just pray whatever you want. Like, I'd never been exposed to anything like that. And so this is the best part of it, was that she became a Christian. She had decided, they'd done Bible study, they studied the Gospel of John together, my brother, missionary dating, you know, worked out for him, but not for everyone. And so they studied the Gospel of John together, and one summer she just decided that she wanted to have a personal relationship with God. And so she had this sense that there was like some kind of prayer that she should say to ask Jesus into her life, but she had no idea. That whole idea of spontaneous prayer you make up was so foreign and uncomfortable to her. So my family, the women in my family, were all extensive readers, and so we are constantly telling each other about books. And my mother had given her the Left Behind series, which I don't really endorse. That's not great writing, and the theology is a little scary, but my mother had shared with her the Left Behind series, and Kara had remembered that some character in the books had prayed a salvation prayer. So she gets out the book, and she finds that section of the book, and she prays that prayer to ask Jesus into her life. So praise God for the Left Behind series. Never thought I'd say that. But still, even after she had decided to follow Jesus, and she and my brother were going to church together after they got married, and I lived with them for a time, we'd have family dinners, and we'd start family dinners by praying, and she wouldn't know, she would never want to pray. We'd take turns. And we'd both kind of just, Brandon and I would just give some time, and she'd just look at us like, which one of you are praying tonight? And for years, probably a good 8 years after becoming a follower of Jesus, my sister-in-law would not pray out loud because it was so strange to her. And she felt uncomfortable. She was worried that she would say the wrong thing or that people would be criticizing the way she prayed. So one day, she calls me up randomly out of the blue, and she's like, Corey, you'll be so proud of me. And I said, what happened, Karen? She goes, I prayed at Bible study in front of the whole group. And I was so proud of her because it shouldn't be that hard. There shouldn't be that layer of fear or anxiety that you'd be judged. This is just open communication to God, right? But for her, she came from a different culture, and so this was a strange thing, right? And so it was a beautiful thing, even 8 years later, that she felt comfortable praying, and now they're raising up my nieces to follow Jesus, and prayer is part of their family life. Prayer can be a lifeline in desperate times. You know, when you are just at your end, you've hit the bottom of a pit, and you don't know what to do. You feel alone or lost. Prayer is that line that is never disconnected between you and God. And you can cry out to God. I remember in college, I was really, really hurt by my best friend at the time She had written me this really nasty letter and left it for me and refused to talk to me. And that letter just broke my heart. And I remember walking to the school prayer chapel. It's this tiny little white building with one stained glass window. And in the window, there's a globe, and Jesus is standing on the globe, and he has his arms open. And so I sat on the floor in the middle of the prayer chapel, and I just wept. And I didn't know what to say. I didn't have the words for the pain that was inside of me. And there was a Bible there, and I pulled it down on the floor with me, and I just opened to the Psalms, and I started reading. And lo and behold, I discovered that other followers of God had felt the same desperation and the same pain, and their words became my words in prayer, and I just started reading them. And I thought, wow, what a beautiful thing that I can borrow someone else's prayer, and it ministers to me, and it opens up again my heart to the God that cares about me and knows about me. Prayer can take a lot of forms. Prayer can be words of blessing. It can be words of celebration. It can be words of praise to God. Sometimes prayer, though, is not about words. You don't have to speak aloud. You don't even really have to be sending up a message to God. Sometimes prayer is quiet, and it's just sitting and acknowledging that you're in the presence of the holy God who loves you. Sometimes prayer is just being there, and it's listening, saying, God, I'm here with you. That's it. And you just listen. And you pray that the Spirit is ministering to you in that quiet. So all kinds of ways to pray. There's no rule book about prayer. But sometimes I think we get stuck in ways that we've always done things, or expectations of others, or just uncertainty and not having the courage to try something new. But prayer is wide open, and it's accessible to you. I did a little research. There was a 2014 study done by the Pew Research, and Pew does a lot of religious surveys. And they said that 55% of Americans say they pray daily. 55%. Even those who don't identify as religious or people of faith, 20% of them say they pray daily. So they don't have a God that they follow, and yet they pray daily. People value prayer. When I was a hospital chaplain, I think maybe four people in 2 years refused my offer to pray for them. And I, most of the time, was ministering to people who weren't Christian. People are open to prayer. They think it has power. And they're right. They're very right. So there's this openness to prayer. Even if they're not open to the idea of Jesus, they're open to prayer. And so you give them the Spirit power, you know, when you're praying for them. This study also says that women are more likely to pray daily than men. 64% of women say they pray daily, only 46% of men. Interesting. Way to go, women. Setting the standard, right? Being good role models. And it says that people over 65 are more likely to pray daily than those under 30. So 65% of 65-year-olds and older versus 41% of 30 years and younger. People pray. And I hope that you are people of prayer, and I hope that this fall is an opportunity for you to learn more about prayer. And not just to learn about it as a thing we think about, but also to try it on, to hopefully expand your practice, to feel more comfortable, to hopefully, in the end, this will help you grow in your connection and relationship with God. So that is the purpose. That's what we're doing. That's where we're going this fall. So I want to open it up for some table discussion. So in your lesson one, if you turn to page 3 of the curriculum, on page 3, I'd like you to discuss at your tables questions 1 through 3. And then question 4 is for you to think about on your own this week. So just doing 1 through 3. And then I'll call us back together in maybe about 10 minutes. So enjoy your discussion.